The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DePaul University. With more than 195,000 alumni around the world, DePaul graduates are a force in the workforce. Learn more at herewedo.depaul.edu.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
This is Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000.
The White Sox lose today to the Cleveland Indians 4-2. Lance Lynn was all right. Six innings pitch, five hits, two runs, two earned. 10 strikeouts for Lance Lynn for the Chicago White Sox. And on to the next series, they will face off against the Boston Red Sox. A four-game set this weekend, starting tomorrow all the way to Monday. The Red Sox, if you haven't looked, in the American League East, they're on fire. What, they have 9 wins already to start the season?
They're the best offensive team in the American League right now.
So White Sox, Red Sox, starting tomorrow. They lose today to the Indians. And kind of when you look at the Sox at this point in the season, 13 games in. Initial response, you know, today it didn't go your way. And there's been a couple of those here early. But last night was fantastic. Carlos Rodon and that story and the ability to get the no-hitter last night, that was thrilling to watch for all of us. It was also fun to watch as White Sox fans kind of see this team kind of having a little positive momentum. But to me, it kind of feels like each time you start to rev the engine in this season, then you get a setback. You get another loss. A 4-2 loss today. Ramirez with a big home run for Cleveland late in the game. He homered to right in the 6th, a 2-run shot, and it was 2-1 Cleveland. And then, you know, the White Sox just couldn't mount the comeback after a couple more runs scored for the Indians. And I think that's just kind of how it's felt. We saw Crochet again today not look great. Kopech came in. He looked good. But it's kind of up and down to this point in the season for the Chicago White Sox.
Yeah, I think that, you know, today's loss after the no-hitter isn't the best feeling, the best taste to leave in your mouth before you head on a road trip to Boston. But if you look at some of the plus sides, you know, with Carlos Rodon looking great, if he can harness a fraction of that and continue that for the rest of the season, then you've got a good arm in the rotation that you need, one that you might not have expected to be as good as he performed yesterday. You know, Lance Lynn goes out there, still gives you 6 strong innings after a complete game in his last outing. Tim Anderson comes back, gets on base in his first at bat, scores a run in his first at bat back up. So you see positives. This happened last season. The White Sox didn't get off to a great start last season. Tim Anderson came back, and that kind of ignited them. Granted, they didn't win today, but what you saw from Tim Anderson coming back from a hamstring, he's running hard. It doesn't seem to be affecting him. The bullpen was shaky. They still left 9 on base, which you don't want to see. They're 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position today, which you don't like to see. That, to me, is the biggest problem. They leave a lot of guys on base, and they're not good with runners in scoring position. Opportunistic hitting. That's what I need to see more from this team, is opportunistic hitting. And, you know, the microscope is zoomed in a little more because of the higher expectations.
And that's they should.
Absolutely. The target is on your back after last season. You're not going to be all the cute little team after last season. You're not like, oh, look at them. They've got great chains.
They've got a pretty cute team there.
They play right. with such intensity,
got
and it's great.
Team,
no, now you're the hunted.
Oh, right.
Now you're the hunted.
Yeah, and you know, that's where, you know, we take our eyes to the rest of the division. Cleveland's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're offensively, they struggle, but that pitching staff's fantastic. The Twins, they win today. They beat the Red Sox 4-3. So the Red Sox are 9-4 on this season. The Twins are 6-7. The whole division kind of struggling. And also, remember, Jesse Rogers told us that the surprise team that he was being told in spring training to keep your eyes on, the Kansas City Royals. And when he told us about that the Kansas City Royals were a team to keep your eyes on, it was like, really, the Royals?
Yeah.
Gotten off the first 10 games to a 6-4 start. They lead the division at the moment. So it's a tough division. We'd like to see them play a little bit better. But right now, it seems like there's just something missing a little bit each and every day. Last night was fantastic. And Mercedes has been fun to watch. But it's good to see Tim Anderson back. He got a hit today, and he looked good. So I'd like to see Jose Abreu, the MVP, start to cook mm-hmm. over this weekend against the Red Sox. That would be nice to see.
I would like to see Moncada start to come along too. Yeah. You know, he had one hit in his four at bats today, one RBI. So he's starting. He just looked like he's been struggling. The guy who looks like he's finally getting it is Luis Robert. Luis Robert, 2-3 today with one run, one walk. So he looks like he had the triple at the end of the game, scored at the end of the game to start a small rally that didn't actually come to fruition, but it's good to see that he's finally seeing the baseball well after struggling the first couple weeks of the season. Now, if you get him cooking, you've got Tim Anderson back. I mean, you get Moncada going a little bit. Abreu, like you said, he looks like he's almost there. I think DJ mentioned it today during the game that Luis Robert is almost there. Like, he looks so locked in. The triple's a really good sign, and once it clicks for him, he could go on a tear to, you know, now that we're deeper into the season, now that we're a couple weeks into the season, now that he's seen some more pitches.
You know, 13 games in.
Whatever. It's still a decent chunk of the season, I guess.
312-332-3776. If you want to talk baseball with Black and Abdallah, here's Tom in Oak Lawn. Tom, you're on ESPN 1000.
What's up, guys? So, first of all, to answer Sylvia's question, the last year, your main Mercedes player in Chicago sports history is the obvious one, Tom Waddle. You know, undrafted, got cut a bunch of times, but then when he was able to show and able to go out there and play, he became an inspiration to all the athletic kids down here on the South Side, including myself, that said, we can still play football even though we're not athletic.
Yeah, shout out to Tommy over the middle. I'm with you, Tom.
Mm-hmm. secondly, yeah, I hate it when the White Sox come up to these slow starts and everything, and again, leaving guys on base. They had plenty of opportunities there to blow the game wide open. I mean, the only thing that made me feel better was when I called my my brother Kevin, who's the Cubs fan, and to kind of vent my frustrations, he said to me, "Hey, we can't even get guys on base to strand them. So at least you have that going for you." So,
yeah, that's a good point.
And another thing, just unrelated topic. So for the past couple of years, I've been working on a story, and today I finally got it. I finally got it published, and it's on Amazon right now for Kindle and paperback.
What's your story about?
And it's inspired by when I ran the Chicago Marathon the first time around in 2019, and the journey I took throughout the whole training and such. But all obviously, right. You know, it's fabricated for a fictional story and such, but the same type of premise.
Tom, if I'm searching for it, what's it called?
It's called Countdown, a Marathon Story.
Countdown, a Marathon Story. All right. I'll look into it. I'm a marathon runner, just like you. I don't do it anymore. It's too much work. But
it's a lot of work,
you.
Man.
I'm with you, Tom.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tom. It's Tom in Oak Lawn. I'm serious. It's just a lot.
I think reading about a marathon would put me out.
Not to humble brag, but like I can roll out with very little effort beforehand to do a half marathon. But like to run a marathon, you really gotta work.
I'm tired just hearing about it.
But I don't blame you. I want to talk to you about this. The Chicago Bulls last night, they lose to the Magic, 115-106. We really have to get into this because you know the news that is come out this afternoon with the Chicago Bulls. Zach LaVine is now in the health and safety protocol per the NBA's situation with COVID-19. They have not released that he has COVID-19, but if you kind of put together what is being said, and Sham Sharania from The Athletic and from Stadium is reporting that he'll be out at least 10 to 14 days, which we've all lived through the pandemic now, right?
Yeah.
And we know with contact tracing and a positive COVID-19 test, just for normal people like Bleck and Abdallah, mm-hmm. that would require us to quarantine for what? How much time?
10 to 14 days.
10 to 14 days. So the Bulls have not released why specifically Zach LaVine is on mm-hmm. the health and safety protocol. But if he is out 10 to 14 days, and you know, hopefully if he did have COVID-19, he doesn't have symptoms. And if he does have symptoms, hopefully they're mild. But if we look at this whole situation for the Chicago Bulls, this is do or die time for this team for this season trying to make the playoffs. You lose four straight. You get blown out last night by the Magic. an embarrassing outing, and now you're going to be out without Zach LaVine giving you 27 points per night for the near future. And I think if it's really all the way to 14 days that he misses, they play 8 games in that span.
Yeah.
To me, there's virtually no shot you're going to make the playoffs now.
No, and you know, yesterday there was a time, I believe, in the third to fourth quarter where there was 9 minutes where he didn't attempt a shot. I'm like, why isn't he attempting the shot? And now it makes sense. Like, if he was feeling fatigued, if he was feeling tired, if he had a headache, if he had any of the symptoms that go along with having COVID-19, should he have it? It makes perfect sense now why he looked a little sluggish out there yesterday. And so, yeah, you're right. You're not. If you were playing this bad against the Timberwolves and the Magic, and now you don't have Zach LaVine, and you had half of Zach LaVine out there yesterday, you're not making the playoffs. And it would have been okay, but now your top pick is only top four protected. So if you don't get that, if that lottery pick doesn't fall in the top four, then I know you traded for an all-star, and you've got Vucevic here for a while now, and you've got Tice, and you've got all these guys here now, and so you should be able to, you know, make something of that. But you also don't have your first pick, your first round pick anymore, unless it's in the top four. So now the conversation has shifted from, well, what has this trade been worth it? They're what, 3-8 since the trade, or something like that, or whatever it is. They're bad. They've been bad. They've been really bad.
They've been really bad. It's. And so let's ask this question at 312-332-3776. Like, what's next for the Bulls? You know, I don't really think the best idea is just hoping for a top four pick and then having that person save the franchise, because I don't think that's going to happen. I think what is highly likely is that this team misses the playoffs now, and then your pick goes to the Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm.
It is top four protected, like you said, but it is very likely that it does not land in the top four. And at that point, you don't have a first-round pick. You have Vucevic, you have Zach LaVine, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what we're working with going forward. So we'll take your Bulls calls at 312-332-3776. I was wrong about something. Oh. I need to admit that. Uh-oh. Coming up next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah.
I got stories that'll raise the hair on your head.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
I'm rather looking forward to it.
Black and Abdallah.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Wrong about something. You know me, I love the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Love the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Love the Bulls.
Oh yeah.
Love watching the entire league. It's something I spend like 99% of my free time doing. It's something I enjoy. I looked at the schedule a couple weeks ago. So the Bulls are in a tough spot right now. They're facing playoff teams.
They're going to get a lot of wins.
No. They were facing playoff teams.
No, but you said coming up, watch out.
They were playing Phoenix and yeah. Utah and Brooklyn and Utah again.
But you said there's
and
light.
Denver and, you know, yeah.
End of the tunnel.
I'm looking at the schedule and I look ahead and I'm like, okay, let's figure this out. All right, Atlanta, that's a team the Bulls could take care of.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're fourth in the East, but they're a team that the Bulls can compete with, right?
Oh, yeah.
If only the Bulls were the Hawks right now. Young team, up-and-coming team. It reminds me of Phoenix last season, Atlanta, and where they're at right now.
Oh, but Chris.
Minnesota, Memphis, Orlando, Memphis, Cleveland, a bunch of teams.
Chris.
Hey, there are wins on the schedule coming up.
They're trying to figure out how to play together.
There are wins.
That's it, right?
Coming up on the schedule. And I said that on this show. I'm Waddle and Sylvie. I said it, guys, keep an eye on the schedule.
Yeah.
It's going to ease up for the Bulls. What have they done? They've lost four in a row. They lost to Atlanta on Friday, on Sunday to Minnesota. That was bad. Memphis on Monday, and last night at home against the Magic, the team that you took their all-star at the trade deadline. You took them. You sent them back Wendell Carter Jr., who is terrible. He's playing okay for the Magic right now. You see his stats for the month, for this last month since he's been traded?
Mm-hmm. Last night, like 14 or 15 a game, right?
Yeah, 8 rebounds. Like last night, he was okay. I mean, he's not a difference maker. But you got an all-star back in Nikola Vucevic. He's back. You got the all-star. You sent the first-round pick, top four protected. Multiple, by the way. Right? Isn't it 2 years of first round?
Yeah, I thought so.
But you're top four protected. Okay. And so you look at this Bulls situation, the way they played. And last night, you know, you watched the game last night. There was a lot of sports going on last night.
Oh, yeah.
I actually did the double back this morning to watch Bulls Magic.
Look at you.
Well, I mean, I like seeing how it happens. I like trying to figure out why the H in the third quarter are you down 15 points? Because through half of the third quarter, the game was tied. And then, like, with 4 minutes to go, the Magic start popping threes, and your offense looks like complete trash.
Yeah.
And you get to the start of the fourth quarter, and you're down 15. You mentioned Zach LaVine. He looked tentative last night.
Mm-hmm.
You also have guys.
He didn't attempt a shot for 9 minutes straight.
You have guys offensively who really, you know, the last couple of nights, it seemed in the fourth quarter, the only player out there that's confident in his own offensive game is Thaddeus Young. And it's just like, where is this going? And what's so, and why I'm wrong, and the whole point of me kind of talking about this is I was wrong because I thought the upward trajectory and what we saw in the three games that they won in a row, we saw them beat the Nets, the Pacers, and the Raptors. And I thought two of the best games they played the entire season were against Brooklyn and the Pacers,
mm-hmm.
The 4th and the 6th of April. And the ball was hopping offensively. Zach LaVine wasn't the focal point offensively. Vucevic was.
Especially in the Nets game.
But playing off of Vucevic is why Zach LaVine was so good in those games.
Yeah.
And that made sense. We haven't seen it yet since. And the last four games, they've been terrible defensively. And there's a lot of holes here and a lot of roster changes that I think are still going to happen in this offseason. But I don't know, and I'm wrong, because I thought that they would kind of make a surge towards the playoffs, and they're doing the opposite now, and I'm completely wrong on what I thought this team would be.
Well, I don't think you're completely wrong.
I just think they've lost four in a row. Did you watch last night against the Magic?
Okay, but if their best player ends up missing 10 to 14 days with COVID, then I understand why he wasn't playing well yesterday. I think if Zach LaVine plays well yesterday, then they win that game. He didn't attempt a shot for 9 minutes in the third and fourth quarter. I mean, come on. That's got to be something.
If he misses 8 games, like Sham Sharania is suggesting,
yep.
He could be out 10
Dude,
to 14
days. They're not making the playoffs.
If he misses 8 games, that would put him back roughly around April 28th at New York. I mean, at that point, you have the Knicks, Bucks, Hawks, 76ers, mm-hmm. Hornets, Celtics, those are all playoff teams.
That are going to be vying for seeding and all that stuff.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You're not making the playoffs. And if you're not paying attention to the NBA, the Wizards and the Raptors are a game back of the Bulls now
mm-hmm.
for that 10th spot.
Oh, dude, they're not making the playoffs.
For the 10th spot.
It's done.
Okay, so Bulls fans, what do you want going forward? What's the idea here?
Get them out.
You just hope that
get them out.
AK and Eversley can find a free agent in the summer.
Yeah.
But, like, here's the difference.
Enjoy the Suns last year. Farewell tour.
The Suns last year, he's still getting his steps. That's got to count for something, right?
Well, no, but I'm saying enjoy the farewell tour. He's going to walk around the baseline all the time.
Have you ever seen a player as highly regarded as Lauri Markkanen who does less on a basketball court, who has the capabilities to do stuff? Like, it's not like he can't shoot. He can. It's not like he can't go to the rim. He can. It's not like he can't rebound. He's 7 foot tall. He just doesn't do anything. He's just out there going up and down the floor.
I don't get it because I thought he would do a lot better once Boylan was gone, and I thought that Billy Donovan would be able to find something for him to do and play better, but I just don't think his... I don't know if it's his confidence. I just don't think it's there anymore.
It's crazy to me. And so going forward with this team, you have two All-Stars who've never won in either spot. Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic, neither of them have won mm-hmm. in either spot, but they're all-stars because they've made the all-star team.
Well, they're all-stars.
I know.
Does that not mean that they're all-stars?
They are. But they don't play winning basketball.
But they're all-stars.
So what's next?
Well, I was hoping this isn't the final team, though.
No, I know it's not. But like Phoenix last year, they get to the bubble and they made a push, and everyone knew that they had young players developing, and that's going to be the next.
Okay,
team.
But if Devin Booker missed
Atlanta's
the last
that this year,
but if Devin Booker missed the last eight games, they wouldn't have made the bubble, and it would have been a thing. The Bulls' best player is going to be out for eight games.
But he played the last four that they lost.
He didn't really play yesterday.
He was out there. He had points.
Get his steps in, man.
Oh.
Yeah, but if
Zach had 30 points.
You know what it's like when you get sick.
Seven assists, five rebounds.
You know what it's like when you get sick. Like that night before, like the sickness actually sets in, you're like, I can still do stuff. I'm not getting sick.
We don't have clarification that he is actually sick. He's just out in the health and safety protocol per Woj on ESPN.com. Shams Charania is saying 10 to 14 days. We are in the COVID-19 pandemic. We're assuming. We have no idea. It could be contact tracing.
For 10 to 14 days?
I'm just giving you the fact that we don't know for sure that he tested positive for COVID-19. That's all I'm doing. I'm doing the responsible thing as someone who is in front of a microphone on a radio station. That's all I'm doing.
And I'm giving you a look.
I know you're giving me a look, and that's only for the Twitch crowd. Shout out to the Twitch people, ESPN 1000 Chicago. You saw the look Abdallah was giving me. Octavius in downtown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Octavius?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Go ahead, man. What do you think about the Bulls?
Hey, okay, so I got a silver lining outside of landing that top four pick for the Bulls right now. With Zach being out, I think it's a couple things. You get to see how this team operate for a couple weeks with Booch being the lead man in charge. So we get to see, you know, who you basically going to bring back next year between Brown, Valentine, and Kobe White. So I think this is a chance for them to step up. So I'm not writing them off yet as far as, even though they've been terrible the last couple weeks, but for them to lose these next few games coming up. Also, I wanted to say that I think that, and, you know, it's too early, and I love Billy, but I do think it's a coaching problem at this point. And I can't put my finger on it, but I just think that when you got two all-stars and as much talent as it is on this roster, they got to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. You got to beat the Orlando Magic. You got to beat the Timberwolves. You shouldn't be losing these games. When you look at Tibbs out of New York, they got the number one defense in opponent's points per game, number one defense in guarding the three-point line. And, I mean, his perimeter players is Reggie Bullock and Alec Burks. You get what I'm saying? So, I don't know what Billy is doing, but his philosophy ain't working. And, you know, it's really frustrating to watch. You know what I mean? But that's all I have to say, guys.
Yeah, good call, Octavius. Mm-hmm. You know, the problem with it is if we flash back to last season, the Thunder with a bunch of no-names, I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's a name to NBA people, but they didn't have a star. They had Chris Paul, right? So was Chris Paul coaching that team, or was it, you know, Chris Paul was the star on that team, but like Billy Donovan got a lot of pub for how well that team played last year. And so like it is, I agree with Octavius. It's disappointing to see the backslide here in the last four games. It's not right.
I think you're going to see some major moves because I think that Billy Donovan didn't sign up for a full-on rebuild, and you saw at the trade deadline, this isn't going to be a full-on rebuild. They're going to make some moves. So just, this is, you know, if they're not going to make the playoffs, hope that they get that top four pick. So it comes in their favor. It would be very Bulls of them for it to be the fifth pick, and you're just out of it because that's probably what will happen.
How bad would that be?
You'll get the fifth pick.
The fifth pick. Like, that would be rough.
Damn.
All right, Black and Abdallah, if you want to continue talking basketball with us, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Do I see, is that, are we on the right day? Today's Thursday, right?
Well, we could be on the right day. We could be on the right day. Who knows?
What does that mean?
I'll tell you the story next.
You got a story?
I have a story.
Okay, fantastic. Story time with Abdallah next.
You're listening to Black and Abdallah.
ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Download the podcast of Black and Abdallah on the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you have the ESPN Chicago app for your iPhone, your Android device. All the podcasts here at ESPN 1000 right there on the ESPN Chicago app. In fact, when you open it up, it plays ESPN 1000.
Right there, man.
Our boss, Mike Thomas, calls it a dumb app.
It is dumb.
Like you don't have to be bright to use it.
Yeah, like I use it all the time.
App.
I'm like, where are these podcasts? They're right there.
Boom.
I don't have to like look for stuff. I don't have to click. I don't have to search by date or
just
anything like
open,
that. It's
it
right
plays,
there.
The station's on. Boom. And guess what? You can also, in Chicago, hear White Sox baseball through the ESPN Chicago app. Next game for the Sox tomorrow, 5:30 pregame with Connor McKnight.
It's a lifesaver.
Against the Red Sox tomorrow, 5:30 pregame, Connor McKnight. White Sox Network right here, ESPN 1000, Len Casper, Darren Jackson, all the games right here on ESPN 1000. Story time with Abdallah. What do you have for me?
Okay, so speaking of White Sox baseball, tomorrow night they kick off their series against the Boston Red Sox in Boston. If you're listening to us in Boston, hello. Go Pakika.
Well, I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I was going to say hello to them.
All right. Hello.
Pakika Chowda. I love that commercial. The cousin from Boston.
Sam Adams guy?
The Sam Adams guy from Boston. He gets me every time.
I like him too.
That's my scoop where it is. Scoop there it is. That's my version. That's for me. So tomorrow, Waddle and Sylvie might be truncated until 5:30 because pregame.
I have the schedule right here.
Okay, so the pregame show begins at 5:30. Connor McKnight.
I just gave you the promo.
I know you did.
Okay.
I'm telling a story.
For a second, I was like, did I say it wrong? No.
I am telling you a story.
Got it.
You have to have full context.
Okay.
White Sox pregame tomorrow at 5:30. Now, it's going to rain.
Oh,
in
here?
Boston. No, Boston. Here, beautiful.
Okay.
Chilly, but still not no rain.
Oh.
Till Tuesday, okay? So,
our
good friend, Mitchell and Displains.
Oh, really?
Calls in to Waddle and Sylvie yesterday.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And he wants to tell Sylvie he's wrong about something about Van Halen. I'm like, I'll tell him we've moved on at this point. But Mitchell, I appreciate you listening. I know you used to be a music writer, so you know all about all this stuff. I'm not doubting your knowledge of Van Halen. Also, we might not have a show tomorrow night on Friday night. So
We have White Sox baseball on.
Right. Yeah, which is great. I'm gonna go home and watch White Sox baseball.
5:30 pregame.
You don't need
Connor
to hear
McKnight.
Us.
Boom.
So I told Mitchell and Displains, call us on Thursday night. And he said, of course I'll call you on Thursday night. Listen, it's Thursday night. Ain't nothing wrong with a Thirsty Thursday wine review. But now there might be rain in the forecast, so just keep your eyes open. Or your ears open, I guess, technically. We might be on. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're not. Let's just hope White Sox baseball gets in.
So you're saying that we may be on from 6 to 7
In which
tomorrow?
Case, we'll get a double wine review.
All right. All right, usually on Friday nights, Mitchell and Displains calls
Set
in.
Set the over-under right now.
Here he is on a Thursday, a Thirsty Thursday. Mitchell and Displains, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up there, Team Gemini, Team Sagittarius? Look, the bottom line, Team Sagittarius, is that you have excellent recall for the details. You gave a phenomenal synopsis to what that story was about yesterday, and I applaud your specificity.
Thank you.
What I'd like to do is basically start off, folks, because you guys are the greatest, about the Ryan Review. Right now I'm focusing on Barefoot. This is kind of like the middle class of red wines. You can get a double, okay? That's like, they come in, two bottles in one, the oversized, on special today at good friends Tony's Market for $7.99. And it's like they normally go for like $6.99. Normally throughout the year I can get them around $5. And they come in your whites and your reds, your Cabernets, your Merlots. They have actually have a good Malbec, surprisingly. So but I also like their Pinot Noir. So for the value, because guys, I'm all about the value. I'm all about the working class person. People work hard for their money, their financial investments, their stuff. Mm-hmm. So you had listen. If you go, you have 1,000 categories in any type of red or any type of what I call exclusive blends. Okay, in the red wines. But the thing is that you're not going to spend $75 you know, from the middle of the road when you want to have something during the week, you know. So that's why I go for value, folks. Appreciate the Mitchell and Splain's value concept of the red wine.
I
so
love it.
This week it's Barefoot, and you guys can get the single bottle for like $4.99, and you can get a double for $7.99. And I think you guys will really enjoy it if you like those blends.
What I want
to talk to you guys about, because basically, you know, I know that you're in the category of millennials, okay? And Chris, you always talk about, our team Gen I, you talk about Generation C. They're actually called centennials. So the generation after you are centennials, which is exactly Generation Z. Now, in terms of Van Halen, the band Van Halen from Pasadena, okay? I have a lot of inside tacit knowledge recovering them when I worked for Arrow 93 in Los Angeles for about 3 years. And when Sylvie was talking about they did a tour, they never did a tour, Van Halen, with Roth and Hager at the same time. Now, let me ask you both.
You know that Sylvie thinks that they did. He's you need to tell him this.
I understand. Team Gemini, I understand you have a duality, but you're absolutely right. I'll get to him, and I'll get to him. He's totally off. Okay, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is that Van Halen was with Roth for 6 albums. They had a parting of the ways in 1985, and he quit. He wanted to go make a movie for CBS. They brought in, basically, Sammy Hagar, okay? Sammy played with them for about 10 years, and in 1995, 90 into 96, he quit. They say he got fired, but he quit because they ended up getting David Lee Roth back in 1996 for 2 songs on a greatest hits album. And then they made this appearance on MTV with Roth. And everybody went nuts. At that same time, Eddie Van Halen was auditioning about 7 different singers. One guy was named Mitch Malloy from Nashville. Once he saw Roth on MTV, he quit. So what ended up happening was they were like, they didn't have a singer, and their manager at the time was the same management that did basically the guy from Extreme. So remember Gary Cherone? He was the 3rd incarnation of Van Halen. He only lasted 1 album and did a tour, and that was it. It was the worst-selling Van Halen album ever with Gary Cherone, and the tour was like basically 50% sold. So when it happened in 2004, they reunite with Sammy Hagar, and it was the worst tour. They got in fistfights. They had to cancel the tour. It was not good, harmonious energies. Just read Sammy Hagar's book and talk all about it. That was in 2004. In 2002, 2 years before that, Sammy goes on tour with David Lee Roth. And I was there in L.A. covering the show. So it was a Sam and Dave show. And there was kind of like, they made it up to be like a boxing match.
Sure,
and every tour, they would flip. One night, Sam would open up. The next night, David would open up. And it got really contentious. And it blew up, but they made some really good money. That's the only time those two were ever sharing what I call a venue. But they never, Van Halen, as a blanket ship, the mothership Van Halen, they never had a tour with Sammy Hagar or David Lee Roth, collectively. They were mutually exclusive.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we got to the bottom of this.
Yeah,
you need to tell Sylvie this.
Thanks, Mitchell.
Okay, but I want to ask you two something really specific about Van Halen.
Sure. Yes.
Let me ask you this. I'll start with Team Sagittarius. Did you ever like Van Halen? And if you did, did you prefer the Sammy or did you prefer the Rock?
No, Sammy can kick rocks.
All right, so you like the David? You like the Rock?
Yeah.
So you like the first six albums? Like
absolutely.
Running with the Devil.
Same.
Yeah,
same.
I don't need to know what dreams are made of. No.
Yeah.
Okay,
same.
That's good. That's a very good pick.
Put me down for the same. Same.
Oh, so you're
David
the
Lee Roth.
Rock. Now,
yeah.
Okay, so in 2007, they reunite with Roth, but they kick out Michael Anthony, who's the bass player.
Can't do that. Can't do that.
And they bring in his son, Wolfie. And they had been together until, obviously, Eddie passed away. So that is the Van Halen saga. And that is the bottom line.
Four! Hey, Mitchell, quickly, before you hang up, people on Twitter want to know, are you on Twitter?
No, I do not do Twitter at all. Not on Twitter.
You know that there's multiple people pretending to be you on social media, right?
They're all basically the sycophants. Their face, the real Mitchell from this plane, only has his one web frequency, and I only on one frequency only, on a one-man team. For those that want to basically try to impersonate me, it's flattery, but you'll never be me. And that's the bottom line.
Thank you, Mitchell. Have a great weekend. Maybe we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Too.
I don't know.
Man. All right, sounds good. Have a good night. Bye.
Did not know we were going to get the history of Van Halen tonight, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about this A-Rod story that I have here. Did you? But I thought it was fantastic.
They broke up?
I think we went through the entire Wikipedia of Van Halen, right? No, I don't care about that. Did you see the story in
they broke up.
Sports Illustrated about ESPN being mad at Alex Rodriguez?
They broke up?
No, not about no.
Then what are they mad at him for?
Has nothing to do with J Lo.
Then what are they mad at him for? J Lo?
I'll tell you. There might be there's a reporter in the NBA, Adrian Wojnarowski, breaks every story. You didn't see this?
I have no idea.
You have
what
no idea what I'm talking about.
Nope.
I'll tell you what it is next. A Rod, ESPN, might be a little bit of a beef.
To Black and Abdallah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This hour is brought to you by our friends at 3Chi. That's the number 3, C-H-I. The leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. Visit 3Chi.com for more info and use promo code ESPN21 for 5% off.
When you're at home, don't miss Black and Abdallah. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
We have the song of the night coming up in just a couple moments here on ESPN 1000. Abdallah's very excited for tonight's song.
It's going to make a lot of people mad, and that makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah. It's
not going to be well received, I don't think.
Well, you can listen to it once. It's fine.
And then you'll listen to it once, and you will hear it for days.
I wanted to... I saw this earlier today in the Sports Illustrated on their website in the media section, talking about like
so
different
not in
media
the illustrated
things.
Section.
No, the media section, okay. Not the illustrated section. So Alex Rodriguez in the news this week. Not only you wanted to talk about J Lo,
yeah,
the
he's
breakup.
On he's on Twitter posting
listen,
his feelings.
Man. Listen, man,
he's posting Coldplay songs.
If you follow the stuff behind the scenes, they haven't been together for a minute.
He's posting Coldplay songs though.
Please. Please. They haven't
you
been
only
together.
Listen to Coldplay when you're sad.
Okay. All right. Well, so here's the story that I saw in Sports Illustrated that I thought was interesting because apparently we have a bit of a source off. We have a source off. So, okay. You know how this works in sports. There's like three people that break stories, and especially at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
There are three people and they each have their own sport. Adrian Wojnarowski for the NBA, Adam Schefter in the NFL, and Jeff Passan
mm-hmm.
for baseball.
Yeah.
Right? And like it used to be a little Buster Olney, but I feel like it's now Passan's turn.
It's mostly Passan now.
Right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a little Kirchin here and there.
Maybe Jesse.
Right?
Hey there, buddy, I got a story, buddy.
Jesse, hey, put
buddy.
Me on hold. Hey, I'm
buddy,
ready
I got
to
a story,
hey, buddy.
Buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Buddy, I got a story, buddy.
Put me on, buddy. The Cubs release Schwarber. Yeah, Jesse, we know.
We know, yeah.
Thank
thanks.
You. You called in.
Buddy.
We put you on. We already know. Let's go with Jesse. Jesse, no, we know. Thank you. Jesse's the best.
I hope he's listening.
So here's the story. A bit of a source off. In Sports Illustrated, they claim that they've learned that A-Rod has angered his bosses at ESPN by not giving them the scoop that he is teaming up with Mark Lohr, the ex-Walmart executive, to purchase the Minnesota Timberwolves. The story was broken by The Athletic and not by Adrian Wojnarowski.
Hmm.
So The Athletic broke the story.
Hmm.
Woj did not break the story. And according to the New York Post, the outlet saw a text message from an ESPN executive allegedly that sent this text to other execs on Monday. And the text read, "Hi, guys. We should have saved something for ESPN instead of giving it all to The Athletic. ESPN mentioned to A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball, they wish Woj would have broken the story. Obviously, it's not our call, but next round, it should be." So there's an internal source off between A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball, The Athletic breaking the story that he's purchasing the Timberwolves, and the throne of Woj being upset that he was beaten on a story.
No.
So we have a source off.
It's like...
I love it.
Look, if it was like a major trade or if it was like something... But who owns the team? Who cares?
But you know how this works. It all gets funneled.
No, so I know.
So, like, I mentioned the three names, but there are a lot of people that work for ESPN.
I know.
A lot of capable people. Hey there, buddy. Hey, buddy. No. Ray. A lot of capable people of breaking stories. You know how this works.
No.
Person gets story. It gets funneled. Woj breaks it, and then you get a credit in the Woj story. That's how it works. That's what they're looking for.
I'm more interested in the breakout.
All right. Well, I mean, your thoughts then. I'll give you 30 seconds on J-Lo.
I'm just going to give these two people their time to get to.
You know, breathe. He's been seeing that girl from Southern Charm for
a
minute.
I don't care.
It was all showbiz. It's not real. Come on. Are you crazy? You think that's all real?
Who should?
Let me guess. You think Kim and Kanye, that's a real deal, too?
No.
You think that's real?
Come on. No.
Okay, so why would you think that J-Lo and A-Rod is?
Because they seemed happy in their fake love.
In their fake love.
Yeah.
Should we go to the song of the night?
Oh, please. Let's do that.
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdallah's Song of the Night.
I hope they get the game in tomorrow because I want us to go out like this.
Hanson's Mbop from 1997. Abdallah,
24 years ago today, we were graced with three... fine young gentlemen who could sing like angels, and 10-year-old me thought this slapped.
You thought this rocked?
This slapped. Louder for the people in the back. Dude, this song was so popular in 1995, or 1996, I guess, technically, is when it was released.
Came out in 97, but
yeah,
carry on.
I'm looking at it. I mean, it was number one on, like, every chart.
This is going to be stuck in my head. Do you know their names? Were you that big of a fan?
Oh, God, no. No. I just like the song whenever it came on the radio. Okay, I'm about to blow some people's minds.
All right, give it to me.
I know a lot of stuff. I know a lot of stuff, right, about music. I did not know this. The Dust Brothers produced this song, and people are like, who are the Dust Brothers? The Dust Brothers produced a ton of stuff in the 90s, like the Beastie Boys, Beck. They did the Fight Club soundtrack.
What?
They did, yes.
And then
yes,
they're making this?
They did Paul's Boutique. They were responsible. So when the story is the Beast, this is going to turn into a Beastie Boys story. Basically, the Beastie Boys were sick of making frat rock. So they were sick of making that. So they went on this hiatus. They left their record label. They were all mad at their record label. They each went their separate ways. They smoked a ton of weed. They did a ton of LSD. They met the Dust Brothers. And the Dust Brothers were like, what if we just sample a bunch of stuff and make it and turn it into, like, listen to these tracks. So they played the tracks for the Beastie Boys, and they're like, this is our album. This is the direction we want to go. And then they produced this. They made this song. Yes, Big Dolly Dave is right. The Dust Brothers did a lot of coke. They did a lot of stuff. And they made this song.
The three boys in this song, Isaac, Taylor, Zach.
I was more of a Taylor guy, I think.
Yeah, I think everyone was.
Which one looks like Trevor Lawrence?
I think that's Taylor.
All of them?
No, Isaac was the old one, right?
Okay, Isaac looks like Trevor Lawrence then.
Zach was the young one, and Taylor was the one that, like, actually could perform. Isn't that the combination there?
Yeah.
You got the little kid on the drums who can't really drum.
Yeah.
You got the old
guy. He could drum,
guy.
Hold on.
Oh, this is a breakdown? You're like singing. What are you doing?
I love this stupid song.
Oh, man. Jason Honeycutt in the Twitch chat, he loved that.
Lord.
We've hit a new low here on Song of the Night.
No, we have not. This is how we go out. If we cancel the segment, I'd be fine.
This is the last one?
This is the last one. Just wait till we play Michelle Branch.
Song of the Night.
Hey, turn up the volume and don't touch that dial because it's time for...
What dial? There's no dial on my phone.
Yeah, it's just an... never mind.
Crank the volume because it's time for Bleck and Abdullah's Song of the Night.
Yo, later.
We'll be back in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdullah on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.